In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let me see. When you and I, when we talk about being hungry, a lot of the times, how do we talk about it? It's usually just joking. And most of our talk about being hungry is some kind of a joke. So we say something like, you know, I'm so hungry I could eat, you know, whatever. Right? And a lot of times we're hungry. What are we hungry for? You know, I'm hungry for a Snickers, or I'm hungry for a McDonald's cheeseburger, right? Or I'm hungry for potato chips. I mean, this is kind of the way we view hunger. Now, the cases where you and I are actually really, truly hungry are pretty rare. And in fact, unless I'm not remembering, I can't remember a single time in my life when I have genuinely been hungry. I don't know about you guys. Maybe some of you. I was just reading the other day about during World War II, the rationing, you know, or before that, you'd have the Great Depression. So maybe some of you remember a time you were dreadfully and genuinely hungry. But it's a rare thing for us, isn't it? In fact, most of the time when our kids come up and tell us they're hungry, and we say, oh, okay, why don't you go get some vegetables or some fruit? What do they say? Oh, I'm not hungry for that, right? How many times have you been hungry where if somebody were to put in front of you like rice or just a plain potato, would you eat it? Now, because we kind of think of this jokey, I think we miss the point a little bit. That hunger is actually a serious problem. It's not a jokey problem. It's a serious problem. Hunger shows us that something is wrong. Now, in the case, of course, of our bellies, it says we need something to eat. But in the bigger picture, hunger is showing us there's something wrong in the world. Because if there wasn't, we wouldn't be hungry. Right, think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden before they fell into sin. Were they hungry? Now, if they were, it certainly was not in the same way you and I are hungry. They were satisfied all the time. Food for them was just a gift, an enjoyment, a pleasure. And in fact, the kind of funny thing about that is they didn't learn what hunger really was until they ate. They ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then they found out about hunger. Hunger is part of this sinful world, and it's serious business. There are people right now in the world who are starving. And I didn't want to just make that statement this morning and then just leave it generally. Maybe some of you know, where are there places in the world where people are starving right now? So I'll give you two that I looked up and I can speak with certainty about. One is North Korea, because you know a little bit of what's going on in North Korea. A corrupt, very, very corrupt government who won't let the people get the food. And so we're putting sanctions on North Korea, you know, us and all many other nations of the world, so food isn't going in, and they're not able to export their stuff, so there's no money. So people are literally starving to death. You maybe have heard the stories about people in North Korea eating grass. Well, there's not much nutritional value in grass. Or I've read about many of them having one or two potatoes a day to live off of. The other place that I know for certain people are starving is in Venezuela. Again, kind of a similar situation. A corrupt government who is not getting the food to the people. And so you've probably heard about the long lines in Venezuela. All the food is rationed. And so I read an article about babies, many children, especially babies, being brought to the hospitals because it's malnutrition. They're dying because they're not getting food. So lest we think that hunger is just something to joke about, it's a serious business. And it's a constant reminder to us that something is not right. Whenever our bellies are hungry, it should remind us that we're hungry for something even more than just food, for a world where there is no hunger. And what is it that we are hungry for? What does Jesus say we should be hungry for? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst not just for food, but hungry for things to be right, for us to be right, for the world to be right. Now, here's the truth of it. I think even though you and I joke about being hungry, I think the truth is we actually are scared of it. I think you and I are genuinely scared to be hungry. If you think about it this way, anyway, you might debate that with me. But we never miss a meal. We wake up in the morning, we feel a little hungry, and we eat. Then we get to lunch, we feel a little hungry, we eat again. Then we get to supper, we feel a little hungry, we eat again. But even in between our three meals, which even three meals in itself, you know, is a luxury, but in between our three meals, we eat again. We eat snacks because if we get that little feeling of hunger that comes, we go and fill it. We're going to be talking about gluttony on Wednesday. But something that I learned that I didn't realize is that we Americans have we have mastered this art of being full all the time. We eat foods that are going to give us that feeling of being full all the way from one meal to the next snack to the next meal. So I think we're scared of being hungry. And if we really were hungry, I don't know if we know what to do with it. Well, this is where the church has had this tradition of fasting during Lent and other times during the year. Because when you fast, what does it make you do? It makes you be hungry. And when you're hungry, you start to realize that maybe there is something more than just food. That's the point of fasting. So, food, being hungry, excuse me, I don't know why I have this cough in my throat, it's driving me crazy. But being hungry, then, is supposed to direct us that we need something more. Okay, so now take our two readings today, the Israelites hungry in the wilderness and Jesus with his crowd of thousands hungry in the wilderness. So first the Israelites, they get out there, Jesus brought them in the wilderness, and they're hungry and they're grumbling. Well, that's on purpose. What does God want them to do? Trust him. So their bellies are grumbling and God wants them to trust that he will provide. But instead, what do they say? This is kind of crazy, by the way. They say, we want to go back and be slaves in Egypt, where we sat by meat pots, they say. They'd rather go back and fill their bellies and be slaves than trust God in the wilderness and be hungry for a little bit. Right? But God takes care of them, of course. He feeds them, right? Gives them manna every morning, gives them quail at night. Now go to the gospel reading and gets kind of a very similar situation. Here they're out in the wilderness and they're all hungry. And what does Jesus want them to do to trust him? But here you've got Philip, you know, who says, oh, what are we going to do? We don't have enough money. We can never buy enough food for all these people. And then Andrew, right, says, well, here's a few loaves of bread and some fish, but what's that going to do? But again, Jesus feeds them. But notice in both of those cases, they still can't trust him. In the Old Testament, Moses said, don't gather any more than what you need right now. But what did they do? They gathered more. Yeah. Oh, are you kidding? It's free food. It's sitting here. We're going to get as much as we can. But what happens? It spoils. It rots. It goes bad. In the gospel reading, Jesus feeds them, and then they find him the next day because what? They want more food. This is the problem. Hunger should be directing us to something more than just bread. And what is that? Jesus says, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. There's a food greater than what our bellies are grumbling for. The bread of life, our Savior Jesus Christ. Hunger should remind us of our hungering for righteousness. Something more than just filling our bellies, but hungering for forgiveness of sin. Hungering for life everlasting. Hungering for righteousness and peace. That's what hunger tells us. And we find all of that in the one who says, I am the bread of life. Whenever you and I sit down to eat, and we've got our bread and we've got our water, the basic necessities of life, Jesus wants you, every time you see that bread and water, to think of Him. That's why He says, I am the bread of life, I am the living water. Because every time we eat food, we are reminded of Him who fills us eternally, right? So one last thing I would just ask you, do you think you are afraid of being hungry? And I think I am. I think I'm afraid of being hungry, afraid of what it would be like to starve. But do you know many people have? Many people have gone without and trusted God to provide. Jesus Himself went for 40 days in the wilderness, and when the devil comes and says, hey, why don't you make some bread? He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Hunger, in other words, is a call for faith. Trust God. He will provide. And not only does He provide physical food, but He gives us eternal food. And one of the places He does that, of course, is here in the Lord's Supper, where Jesus gives us His very body and blood that He shed on the cross under the bread and wine. So no worries, friends. Don't worry about a few hunger pains. God will provide. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.